Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. You're about to hear an update on professional doubles, both where it stands today and where it might go over the next several years. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, then you know I really have two passions and kind of two goals with the Tennis Tribe as well as the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast. Number one is double strategy. So I'm obsessed with double strategy, with shot selection, with positioning, with movement. And I try to teach the best tactics and strategy to both club-level players as well as college players and even some players on the pro tour. And then the second passion that I really have is making professional doubles more popular. It just does not make sense to me that if I go to a local club here in Fort Worth, Texas, where I live, or in California or Florida or really almost anywhere in the world, that most adult players are playing doubles, but then when they go home at night, they're watching singles on TV. I feel like there's a big disconnect here. I feel like professional doubles should be more popular. And that's why I started the Watch More Doubles campaign, the t-shirts back at Indian Wells several years ago. And in this conversation with world number three, Matt Ebden, we talk all about that. So if you're not familiar with Matt, he is a three-time Grand Slam champion. He won the Australian Open earlier this year alongside Rohan Bopanna. He's currently ranked number three in the world in doubles. He also had a career-high singles ranking of number 39 in the world. And he's on the ATP Players Council, so he's very involved in a lot of the meetings that are going on to help decide kind of what to do with the doubles tour. So like I said, we caught up at Indian Wells, and we started out talking about this mixed doubles invitational that Indian Wells decided to do. It seemed like it was kind of a last minute thing, and I was really excited to see them experiment and try something different and provide more doubles for fans on the grounds to watch. So they had eight teams during week two of the tournament compete for a little bit of prize money in an invitational tournament. And Matt was a part of that. He ended up actually winning the title there. And I asked him if we can expect to see more of this going forward at some of these bigger events. So he answers that question. I also asked him what three changes he would make if he were given full reins to the tour to try to help make doubles more popular. And the Indian Wells Twitter account, I think it's at BNP Paribas Open, they actually tweeted out Watch More Doubles to help announce the launch or the start of this mixed doubles tournament, which was really exciting for me to see the campaign kind of get onto a bigger stage. So I think it's just a start, but it was really exciting to see. And Matt talks a lot about it and what we can expect to see in the future. And then at the end, he talks about some of the mental side of the game, which is something we're focused on this month, as most of you know. So I asked him for some mental tips to help with pressure points, with 10-point tiebreakers, different things like that. So this is a pretty focused conversation on professional doubles, and then a few mental tips for those of you who are more interested in improving your own game at the end as well. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Matt Ebden. All right, we're here at Indian Wells with three-time Grand Slam champion Matt Ebden. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be on.
So We're going to talk doubles. You just finished your mixed doubles match at Indian Wells, which today is literally the first day we've been able to say something like that.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the event going on here.
I think it's excellent. I think it's great, not just obviously for doubles, but for tennis as a whole. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of fans come through the gates here. I mean, our first round doubles match here was, you know, packed stadium. You couldn't get a seat. Mm-hmm. It was loud. It was crazy. It was rowdy. And that's the sort of model and concept that we're looking for doubles now. You know, with the marketing, we're looking to make it really fan friendly and engage the fans, pull people in, you know, market the players, the skills, and even the rivalries, obviously with doubles teams, but then doubles teams versus singles guys, and, you know, those sort of grudge matches as well. And, you know, obviously most people who play tennis in the population play doubles because, you know, as they get older, doubles is easier physically, let's say. So, you know, a lot of people can relate to it. And now for them to add this mixed doubles event, I think is some more recognition of that. You know, these two-week Masters events, they obviously know they've got a lot of the world's best players around. Some have lost and some are, you know, sort of, let's say, available to do something. So to run, let's say, an exhibition tournament or an invitational tournament in the mixed doubles is excellent. And I personally saw the excitement and growth of mixed doubles in Australia this year in the United Cup. I played with Storm Hunter and for Australia, and we won quite a few clutch matches for Australia in that United Cup to get us through all the way to the semifinals. And we lost 11-9 in the semis against Zverev and Siegmann. They saved match points. And same thing, you know, the mixed doubles was the deciding factor throughout that whole event until the very final as well, which was decided by a mixed doubles. So we're seeing that now. The importance of it. And then we're seeing now also in Davis Cup these last few years, same thing. It's two singles, one doubles. So the doubles point is worth just as much as your number one singles point.
Right.
So it's made the enormity and the importance of, you know, a great doubles players or great doubles team as important as your top 10 singles player in those events. So, you know, there is opportunity for it to grow.
For sure. So we were just talking before the recording about kind of what potentially is to come for doubles. Will we see more of these mixed doubles tournaments? And then talk a little bit about kind of what's going on overall. Since you're on the Players Council, you were saying you're having meetings here at Indian Wells about doubles. Just update everybody on kind of the state of doubles and what they can expect going forward.
Yeah, firstly, I think, yes, I think you will see more of these sorts of events, especially, you know, mixed doubles too. I think that as the world gets more and more, well, valuing diversity, let's say, and male and female equality, let's say.
Sure.
People love seeing the dynamic, a man and a woman playing tennis together against another man and a woman. Like, it's a fascinating thing that happens. And
other sports don't
exactly. It's very unique selling point for tennis. I can't really think of almost any sport in the world that does it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're potentially at the forefront of something here as well. And that's attractive for sponsors, for events, for, you know, even governments or councils around the world as well. So that's one thing. Yeah, I'm on the ATP Council. And, yeah, we've had a doubles review committee the last 6 or 7 months. And, you know, we're still, it's a working doubles review, let's say. Just trying to iron out exactly the purpose of doubles, where it fits amongst the tour. It's where its value is and where it isn't, what its purpose is and what it isn't. And, you know, we're hearing from people, tournament directors, Grand Slams, the players themselves, ex-players, the ATP fans, let's say, data analytics people. We have one of our marketing guys also on that review. So just working out how to maximize the asset of doubles for the ATP.
Mm-hmm. And there was some recent interview with Jamie Murray, and I felt like a lot of people's reaction to that was pretty, I don't want to say negative, but like kind of worried about doubles.
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel like doubles is at risk a little bit, or do you feel like a positive sentiment coming from the tour and in these meetings?
Yeah, I saw that article recently and read it. It did have probably a negative undertone, let's say. I think Jamie comes from that place of like, come on, guys, if we don't do something, we're going to lose it type thing. But for me, that's not the case at all. I think I would argue doubles is I mean, close to at its best point, if not at its best, just because of what the last 20 years has held. You know, you obviously had, you know, all the greats before, and then you had, you know, the Woodies, and then you had the Bryans, and the Bryans were instrumental and very grateful for what they did for the sport as a whole. And they're still, you know, big icons here in America, even being retired. They're still very important. And anything we do in doubles, they will still remain as ambassadors, a part of that. I actually talked to Jamie after that. Jamie, very knowledgeable, been in the doubles game a long time. He's now tournament director at Queen's, and he was on the ATP Council a long time too. So, yeah, I wanted to get his thoughts and also fill him in on what we had discovered, let's say, in the last 6 months of this doubles review. And, you know, half the things he was saying, or half or more, three quarters even, I fully agree with him in a lot of his points there, but a few of them weren't quite right, we've found, just because of we've, you know, been on this exploration trail this last 6 or 8 months trying to work out exactly what's what. Because there's a lot of hearsay, you know, people say this, they think this, they feel this, but without any stats or backing up, it doesn't really mean anything. So we've tried to go to what actually is happening, where's the actual value, the actual purpose. Where do tournaments see the value? Where do players see the value? And how does it all fit together? So, no, I'm not so worried. And for me, even the more entities, let's say, talking or considering doubles, the more chatter about it, actually, the better. I mean, you probably know in America, you guys are world leaders in this, but there's almost no such thing as bad press. So I'd much rather all these people be caring and thinking and worrying about doubles than no one caring about it. And so, yeah, I think we're on a reasonably exciting path to do a couple little things short term to we can start to action to start it on that upward trajectory of just maximizing its value. And then there's potentially some other things we can try and experiment with in future and in another year or two.
Mm-hmm. So, I know there's a lot of moving parts to this and, you have meetings with, you know, probably a dozen people or more sometimes, but I want to, for a second, say, let's say we had like $1 billion and we just bought the doubles tour right now. Yep. What three changes would you make starting tomorrow?
I would probably make two under a headline because okay. I think the product as it is, the doubles product, it's not the product. It's not the game because we see out there at slams or in these tournaments, we can get full crowds for doubles.
Yeah.
Yes, having singles guys with big names massively helps. They draw crowds. Mm-hmm. But so those people are coming to watch the entertainment. They're, and it's clearly not the product because if it was the doubles that they didn't like or hated, they wouldn't come and watch. But there's often big crowds. They even play here tiebreak tens where the mixed doubles, right? Yeah. And the level of, let's say, doubles or mixed doubles from a professional sense is pretty sort of low. But people don't care. And it's not the product because they're playing mixed doubles and all these people are watching. So they're watching people they know, people from their country, people they've seen before. Sure, single stars, that helps, of course.
Yeah.
But why are those people single stars? I mean, some of them have never won slam. Some of them have never been top 10. But if they're, you know, reasonably top players in their own country, they get marketed a lot. And this was something that singles went through 15, 20 years ago. And I was part of it when I broke into top sort of 70 in singles myself. I was 23. And at that time, they were marketing heavily probably the top three guys, you know, Rafa, Roger, and sort of Andy Murray, and then Novak was coming in there and those sort of three or four guys. And we were like, well, guys, I mean, if you want all the tournaments to succeed, not just the majors at the end of the pointy end of the tournament, you need to be marketing 50, 100 guys, never mind five. So I saw that increase to marketing 10 guys, 20, then they added the next gen. There was a whole nother 10 guys.
Yeah.
Then they started marketing all 50, all top 100 guys almost. Because all these guys from their own country, if they're playing in their own country, the guy from their own country ranked 65 will get more people coming to watch and support than a guy ranked 15 in the world from somewhere else that they don't really care about. Mm-hmm. So doubles has the opportunity at ground zero. So point one, I would say, is marketing. And this is something we've seen on our review. It's virtually at ground zero from a marketing stance. There's been like byproduct marketing or... You know, as the years gone by, the Woodies, the Bryans, and they've done all their own things here and there, but it's just been byproduct of their success, their winning tournaments. There's never been a focused marketing strategy plan or push for marketing the doubles game or the doubles stars, let's say. So That's one. That's by far and away the biggest one. And a lot of people even been joking with me in meetings here the last couple of weeks. I said, come on, man, if we can market pickleball as a sport, we can market the doubles tour. I mean, we've got 100 years of history and heritage and lineage on our side. And like, if you can market people on a concrete bashing a bat and a ball around their backyard, and you can market that into a sport, you know, doubles, I mean, we're leap years ahead of all that. We have incredible tradition, history, all the majors, all the great teams, you know, our sports there, all the fans, whatever. So marketing, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, and these are the two things we can action, I'm hoping to action quickly on the tour with the ATP and the tournaments. Number two is make the doubles court and the doubles game and atmosphere a lot more relaxed etiquette for fans engagement and for tournaments to be able to, let's say, have a doubles court out there or around the doubles, have low level of music, even playing consistently, people allowed to come and go, people allowed to have drinks, make a bit more like a party atmosphere. You know, we've come in, even in tennis as a whole, we looked at the NBA model and the show that they put on at an NBA game. People go there just to watch all the show, not even the basketball.
Yeah, it's great.
So, but singles is so cutthroat physically and mentally that you can't really do some of those things. Whereas doubles, it's much shorter points and it's much more just execution based. And so there is a lot of, let's say, dead time in between points games, which can be used for fans to engage, can be fun, it can be relaxed. Like, I want doubles to be the party.
Yeah.
I want singles to thrive and be the main, it's going to be the main event, it is. I want everyone to be there watching the singles. It's cutthroat, they're on the edge of their seats. Go watch your singles for 2 hours, and then when you want to go have some food, have a drink, let's go, and there's music out there, let's go watch the doubles. There's a DJ playing, have a drink, talk to the doubles guys while they're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, in between points, in between game sets,
yeah.
Let's make that engaging. So we're relaxing the etiquette and even quickening it up. So no sit down after the first game. Let's just go straight, play three games before we sit down. Changeovers don't have to be a minute and a half. They could be 45 seconds. We play always quick, ready to go.
Yeah.
If it's not going that much on TV yet, we don't have to sit down with TV changeovers yet. It's about the product. And once we grow that in the value, the better. The other thing, the third change I will make, okay, I do have a third, is on the scheduling. So we've found this by looking and asking the tournaments, let's say Cincinnati Masters, for example, where do they see the value of doubles and where does it fit? Where do they want it? Why do they want it? And they said even having top singles players play, because for a while now the hearsay has been, oh, we have to have the singles players playing doubles to get crowds and make it important. Yes, you do, but you need them playing and playing properly and all the way to the end of the tournament, or else it's better they don't play. It's no good for anyone or the product or the sport or the tournament or that player to play one match and pull out or to just use it as a practice for their singles.
Yeah.
So they also want to push doubles a little bit back later in the tournaments, and it's a second week event in the Slams, in the Masters, or even on the 8-day Masters events, it's later in the week. It's the last, you know, 4 days of the event type thing. And because it's a content filler in certain ways. You know, it's before the singles, it's after the singles, the quarterfinals, or if there's a pullout, they're struggling for matches, they've at least got two doubles to go on. And also then you get on bigger courts, better courts. Then it also might even cross over on some TV broadcasts. So they need it then. They said they don't need Rublev playing doubles on the first day of the tournament.
Yeah, on court nine.
Because they've got 55 singles matches, which everyone's coming anyway. All the crowds are there anyway to watch all the singles, everything anyway. They said they need, like, by the middle of the week or later in the event when there's down to the last 8 singles matches.
Yeah.
You know, that's like already 80% of the singles players are all left and gone and the matches are all done. There's a lot of schedule gaps and holes. Mm. So by pushing that back and playing more towards the end of the event, it can also allow the singles players who lose in the first round or second round to then decide if they want to play doubles and stick around for the rest of the second week and go, oh, do I want to practice now that I've lost and wait around for the next event? You know what? Maybe I'll play doubles. Let's try win the doubles. Boom. They can practice, play the doubles matches, try and win the event.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
So that's where it's at.
That all makes tons of sense. There's a lot of stuff I've pushed for as well.
Yeah.
We're at 15 minutes. Do you need to run?
I'll do a couple of sharpshooter questions if you have them.
Okay.
A couple of two-line answers.
Let's just end with mental tips for the club players.
Yep.
So Anything that you like to do that might help them for either like pressure points, deciding points, or tiebreakers?
I mean, the biggest thing I would say, I mean, I play casually with some club players, social players. I play pro-ams. I play, I have friends and family who play casually and, you know, whatever. So I see what happens. And I think the best tips I could give them is obviously one, don't overplay. I think there's no good at club level trying to hit an amazing winner on a big point or go for a second serve ace if your level's clearly not going to, let's say statistically, give you the percentage that you're probably going to make that and win that point.
Right.
There's probably not much chance you're going to hit a second serve ace on break point if you're playing at club level, let's say. It's a hard trust truth. Yeah. It's not to say you can't do it, but let's say if I give you 10 break points and you have a second serve, you know, you're probably twice out of 10.
Yeah.
So those are not odds you want to take. So, you know, it's about giving yourself the chance. So you need a, you know, that ball's got to go in. You've got to play the percentages. Make the other guys hit the crazy winners if they want to try and win. You know, it's much lower percentage. So percentage tennis, I would say, for club players on big points. And I think that's going to raise the level overall. Mentally, I mean, it's about staying present. So, you know, people worry it's a break point, it's a this point, it's a game point, it's a match point. They're worried what it means, what this or that. Try and stay present. Bring yourself to what can you do to try and win that point. That's all that's going to help you. There's no good thinking, I hope I win this point. What if I don't win this point? What if I lose? There's no good all those thoughts, but they're natural human thoughts everyone will have. Best way, just bring yourself back to as simple as possible and just try to be present and say, okay, what's my best chance? What do I have to do to win this point? And go for it. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Awesome. Good tips. Thanks a ton, Matt, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.